We're over here playing checkers and Red is playing chess.
Yeah, Red's, yeah, 3D chess.
To Forge the Narrative.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. I'm joined tonight by Red Powell.
Hello.
And Adam Camilleri.
Evening.
We are the Bell Lost Souls Podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. Like, share, and subscribe. Please leave us a 5-star review. It's going to be an amazing show. It's going to be a disgustingly resilient show.
It's definitely going to be resilient.
We're starting with the controversy. Let's not start at the bottom here, gentlemen. Start at the top, work our way down.
So Death Guard have been delayed. We know that. So we don't have it in our hands, you know, but there are releasing some articles on the Warhammer community site that are giving us a day-by-day teaser or every couple-of-day teaser of what the Death Guard are going to become. Death Guard, a lot of attention with models. Had a lot of new models recently. I mean, it feels like, you know, every time we turn around, you've got a Death Guard model.
It really does, doesn't it? I mean, when you compare their range of models to T-Sons, you can see that there's a favorite son there. there's a favorite child out of those two.
Well,
at least they have stuff. I mean, World Eaters and Emperor's Children are seeing here, like, are we getting a book, please, one day, maybe? Well,
Korn has gotten a lot of stuff, too. It's just been a lot of Sigmar stuff. But, I mean, I've seen many, many enterprising people just with a weapon, a hand swap, turn some of those Chosen of Korn into some really cool berserkers.
Because they were really like the first fleshed out range for Age of Sigmar. Even before the Sigmarites got fully fleshed out, the kind of Korn human range was totally complete.
Yeah, and Thousand Sons, if you were to ask me, I think that when you look at the Tzeentch, like, whole lineup as a demon line and a marine line, I think they're doing okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, they get access, I believe, get more access to more Chaos Space Marine specific things than the Death Guard get.
How do you feel about that statement, Red?
Oh man, I mean, you know, let's just keep this focused on the transition here from 8th to 9th. Okay, don't worry, I'll get my chance.
And Slaanesh actually kind of like sleeper hits out there right now in the world.
Yeah, no, the Slaanesh stuff looks good. And I think that there's really, I mean, I think people want Slaanesh to work. And I think GW wants Slaanesh to work. And I think it's just a matter of time before we're seeing an Age of Sigmar rollout for Slaanesh. I think that there's a lot more coming. I feel it, man. That
I had this, this is a little bit off the beaten track, but I had this feeling for a while that GW really didn't quite know what to do with Slaanesh for a bit. Like, did they want to keep that kind of over-the-top, kind of sexualized aesthetic? Did they want to lean into the kind of sadism? What was Slaanesh, you know, going to be for the 21st century? But yeah, dude, like, look at the range. Look at the range of the models for Age of Sigmar. Knocked it out of the park again. The model range is beautiful.
And I was Death Guard, they've gotten a lot of models, I think, recently, like with the two different types of Terminators, with Mortarion, with the Plague Marine overhaul, with Poxwalkers and the Easy Build set, all the little various, like, three-man set they put out, the Plague Brethren or something set.
Yeah.
And then all their special characters. So I think just feels like they have a lot or more than other folks.
Well, they're getting another character and another terrain piece with this release. They're getting that guy with, like, the super, super flamer.
The double plague spitter.
The double super flamer. That's right. Yeah. They went there. Yeah. And they're also getting that, what is it, the poo oven? They've got the poo tree, and now they're getting the poo oven to round it out. You know?
Yeah, there you go.
So it's going to be neat to see that. So again, we've been delayed. I think everyone hoped that we'd have it to be able to talk about it and play with it, because, like, I'm a fan of Death Guard as well. Have been since the early days of 4th edition, end of 3rd edition type stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm excited. Not as excited about the release we just got, but I'm still pretty excited and looking forward to playing it. So I'm watching these previews. And Disgusting and Resilient came across today, and it's different. And there's been let's just say, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, I think there's a lot of wrong opinions out there.
I'm happy you didn't hold back on that one.
Well, so there's been changes is hard. Like, people like change. We said this before, but nobody likes to be changed. And so when you see something that happened with Disgusting Resilient, and I'll tell you what it does. Disgusting Resilient currently gives you an ignore injury, a roll to ignore injury, a 5+, feel no pain. Now it's changed to each time an attack is allocated to a model in this unit, subtract 1 from the damage characteristic of that attack to a minimum of 1. You want to know why I'm upset? You want to know why I'm upset?
Go ahead.
Because it completely invalidates every advice we've given about heavy bolters and Eldar Hornets.
That is no longer evergreen content. He's right.
So this is obviously different, but I think people are still looking at it, and maybe they aren't by the time this comes out, but I think people are looking at it in the context of a one wound Chaos Plague Marine.
Well, that's the only thing they know, right? Like, because unfortunately, we didn't get 2-wound Chaos Space Marines at the same time that Space Marines did. We just got some of the weapon updates. And so nobody's really gotten to feel that just exactly what that means. Now, of course, you know, 2 wounds with the 5+ feel no pain might have been nice, but really in just the sheer aspect of, I mean, like the math behind it, it really does work out just fine for the toughness 5, 3+ armor save, 2 wounds, and then reducing the damage down in regards to what that does specifically for things that are 2 damage. And I think that there has been, honestly, enough 2 damage stuff, especially with the proliferation of heavy bolters and plasma weapons, that's a pretty big deal. I think it's a huge deal, honestly.
I agree.
So there's a lot of talk about it may speed the game up because you're rolling less dice. And I do agree with that. But I think, I still think that it's an overall net positive when you're looking at a 2-wound body that this sits on.
See, I don't know. The whole feel no pain mechanic, I feel like GW is doing a lot of things and making a lot of inroads in making the game sleeker, more linear and plottable and faster for people to get their heads around and to engage with. I think you guys can agree. Fifth edition was quite the same. It was quite linear, quite straightforward. Once you learned the rule book, all you needed to do was just keep up with the codexes as they came out, 1 every 3 months. You know, it wasn't that hard. It's really hard now. It's really hard to keep up, really hard to stay current. And I feel like dropping things like Disgusting Resilience and all those extra rolls, all those extra bits that slow the game down, make things clunky. Because, I mean, rolling your DRs, you have to roll them 2 or 3 at a time, you know, depending on how many damage the weapon was, how many damage or how many wounds the vehicle was. It can really get clunky, especially for new players. And I don't want to say that it was always a system that was kind of ripe for abuse, but I can tell you I think I've been probably cheated a couple of times on DRs. It was just an easy way for someone to pull the wool over your eyes, so to speak.
And on top of that, yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, people necessarily go out of their way, but there is something to the sequencing of dice and some of the interactions. And when, you know, if you don't slow the game down a little bit to make sure that everything's processing correctly, things can get out of hand in regards of sometimes how disgustingly resilient or feel no pains are done. And you just kind of got to keep an eye on that. It's not necessarily that someone's trying to you know, be malicious about it necessarily, but there is a very distinct sequence in how dice occur and how the rolls go down. And sometimes fast rolling kind of blurs those lines when it's supposed to be an individual sequence, one after the other. And, you know, you just can't necessarily, you know, there's some cases that don't play into that, but it's always okay for you if you feel like you need to slow it down to interject and say, hey, can we just do this one at a time like it's supposed to be? And then once you feel more comfortable with it, you can allow it to speed back up.
Now, once you see how they're sequencing it, you know, I'm with you on that. So let me go with this, that now we're talking about regular damage. I do want to address the fact that this does not work on mortal wounds anymore, which is different. And I also would like to address the fact that Poxwalkers, this would have no benefit to Poxwalkers. So we can assume that it's going to change. So it's either going to not be there for them or change for them, or which might lead you to assume that it might change for other things in the book too, like plague burst crawlers. We don't actually know how it's going to be applied to everything, but we can assume that it's going to make a change for Poxwalkers, and the mortal wound thing is glaring.
Yes, but I agree.
A 2-wound dude in 3+ armor save.
T5,
who we know from, well, if, you know, like Cloud of Flies and other things that may make this even more evasive, you know, this, you're going to have a pretty durable unit.
And I'm of the opinion that that GW always had to do this. As soon as they locked in the extra wounds on the Death Guard Marines, like 2-wound Plague Marines, 3 wounds for all their Terminators. DR couldn't exist. Either that or you got to pay 50 points a model because, like, the effective resilience of a Toughness 5 model with 2 wounds and a 5+ Feel No Pain, it's essentially the same as having 3 wounds. So how many points would this guy have to cost, for this single Plague Marine have to cost, if it retained this this Feel No Pain? Because we know there's ways to give them invulns as of Psychic Awakening if that stays valid past their codex, which it probably won't. But, you know, that might be in the codex.
Yeah.
We've also got all these... Yeah, yeah. I'm of the opinion DR almost... It either had to go to a 6+, or they just had to go with a different mechanic. I just don't think it made sense with the changes that they intended to make. It would just be like you'd get one, so it would be like they would be broke as a joke for like 3 months. FAQ would come out and they'd get like points changed into the absolute dirt.
That, I mean, that's so weird, Adam. I feel like you're describing something that already exists when you're talking about, you know, 3 up what that would be. 2 wounds. And a Feel No Pain that, you know, just broke and doesn't change point values necessarily. That's weird.
I'd like to.
Do you know of anything in the game right now that's like that?
I'm going to politely excuse myself from this conversation.
If you want to go straight into Adam's like big gripe, hot take goodness,
we'll do that later. Let's do that a little bit later in the show.
Fair enough.
So with discussing resilient, big change. I think overall it's a net positive, but. You know, if it stays the same on vehicles and things like Plague Burst Crawlers or even the Malefic Blight Haulers and that kind of stuff, is it still as good? Is it better? What do you think it means to those?
So, I mean, you know, las cannons are going to las cannon. And the truth of it is that, you know, 6 damage on a las cannon, there's only 16% chance of happening, but there's still the threshold of going up above that, you know, 4s, 5s, so on and so forth. But the, I mean, look at dreadnoughts right now in Space Marine armies. Like, is Duty Eternal good? Yes, it's good because of what it does, and it brings all of that down. When you take these multi-wound models, like you know, a Plague Burst Crawl or something, and let's say it does have disgustingly resilient, you give it that -1 to damage. I mean, it's significant enough. Yeah, there are. Don't get me wrong. There are a ton of eradicators out there. There is Melta galore in the meta, but Duty Eternal is good. People respect Duty Eternal on all those dreadnoughts, and I think it's just as enough. Yeah, it's fair enough that it goes on all this Death Guard stuff. And that leads me, something I just want to slide in here real quick, is that we've only seen so much of what's in the Death Guard Codex. There's probably, I mean, I'm expecting an extensive amount more that can stack on with a lot more
synergy. We've seen some type of chart referenced for Mortarion.
Exactly.
You know, so that's going to do... something,
right? And that's important.
Do we want to touch on that at some point?
I do. Yeah, we can theorize a bit, but I want to talk about the Plague Burst Crawler, the fact that it has an invulnerable save. So, you know, you're just mentioning that all these Melta exists. So when you factor in an invulnerable save and then this Duty Eternal, you know, do these become auto includes?
I don't know about auto includes, but I don't know about auto includes is because I think there is enough range to the Death Guard line that, just like we saw to a certain point with Psychic Awakening, you know, like a Death Guard Demon Engine list or a Death Guard Infantry list, I think that they do have enough of a wide enough range to be able to do that, which I think is cool.
Well, like Plague Burst Crawlers are bordering on auto take now, like with the 4+ invuln you can give them, they're very hard to turn down in a lot of matchups. The same for the Mythitic Blight Haulers. They're cusping on auto take as well. I mean, did they get -1 damage? Wow, they just really strong. And maybe there's other buffing things we don't know about yet. Like, let's say you take 3 Mythitic Blight Haulers. Are they -1 to hit, -1 damage? Are they -1 to wound, -1 damage? Like, there's a lot left to be discovered, guys. So I wouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm a huge fan of the Necrons Codex. I think we're all a huge fan of the Necrons Codex, to be honest. I haven't heard a single person be like, this book isn't good enough. Everyone's been like, yeah, this is a good time. And look, I have problems with the Space Marine Codex. I think a lot of people have problems with the Space Marine Codex. I think the vast majority of it can be fixed with points changes. I don't think there's anything that needs to be like eradicated, taken out of the game. So I'm willing to bet this will be a good time as well.
Well, we just can't see it yet.
And
so with that, I think, you know, you're talking about between the Necron Codex and everything. I think something that'll be really interesting to see, which will be something of a precursor to, or could be, just a prediction in regards of Chaos Space Marines, is just like in the Necron Codex, what is going to be core and what isn't, right? So when we look at the Death Guard Codex, what do you think is going to be core?
Yeah, it's probably the Terminators, Plague Marines, and
Hellbrutes.
Hellbrutes. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, like Mythic Blighthawers, they're technically like the equivalent of a Dreadnought. Are they going to be? That's a big deal.
I can't imagine these would be core. The Mythic Blighthawers.
I mean, would you have imagined that?
Redemptor. You know? Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, look, we're guessing. You know, I'm happy That's to be true. Wrong here, but I think these things with the things that come stock because they're demonic with the 5+ and vulnerable save, and then this -1 to damage is you know you're paying probably less points. I mean, by a lot for something that has the same profile as a Contemptor Dreadnought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have one wish out of the Death Guard book. We'll see if it comes true. I want the flesh mower to be auto take. I want to see three flesh mowers in every army. Tone. Flesh mower. What is there else to say?
I've taken one for a team tournament before, and it made money every game.
So a big reason that was getting held back was that you hit on fours with the blow train. It now hits on threes.
Big deal.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Bring on the flesh mower. Somebody make it work.
I think this is shaping up to be a pretty good decks. I mean, again, we don't know. There's all speculation at this point, but you know the news are out there and it's got me excited. So I want to talk about it a little bit.
Well, they're working from a very good baseline. Like the Space Marines and Necron Codex have caused a little bit of a drop off in the power of things like the Death Guard, but they're working from a very good base of models. They're working from a very good range of models, and so I don't think it can be a terrible time. I think it's going to be good. Whether if it's as good enough for you out there sitting at home who plays Death Guard now, you know, I can't tell you that. But well, I think it's going to be exciting.
I think you could probably expect some change in what you normally take. But I think if you've got, I don't know, 10 Terminators, some, what is it, the Blight Shrouds or whatever?
Yeah, Death Shrouds.
Death Shrouds, yep. And then you know, 27, 28 Plague Marines, you're probably going to be in a good spot.
You had it. 28, that's the number. Don't do 27. It's not right. It's not a multiple of seven.
Yeah, multiples of seven. That's right.
That's right. what was that army you took that time? Was it 8 units of 8 dudes and 8 rhinos?
Yeah, I was. Everything was a multiple of 8.
Do what red does. Everybody. Yeah. If everyone did what red did, what a world.
So it's all speculation. The only thing that's not speculation is that heavy bolters and hornet cannons are just decidedly worse if you're playing against Death Guard.
And Mortarian is toughness 8.
Do you think that matters?
You say why you think it matters, and I've got a point of contention there. But go ahead.
So the best gun in the game right now is a multi-melter. I don't think that's much. Or maybe an Inceptor gun is better because they get two. Oh, sorry, maybe an Inceptor is better. But the best profile, the best damage dealing weapon that you would use and you would have enough of in your army to kill Mortarian with is a multi-melter. I now wound him on a 4 with -1 damage. I like it a lot. And then presumably he's going to have a 4-up invuln. So you got 12 shots. Let's say you hit on threes with a reroll. That's cool. So you're going to get 8 hits, and then you've got 10 hits, wound with 5. You're going to take probably 2d6 -2 damage. You can live with that. As a Death Guard player, considering he would instant die the second he was on the table before, I think you can live with that.
But if the meta... So here's my counterpoint, is if the meta just shifts slightly to the right from Meltas to Laz Cannons... Yeah. And if he has disgustingly resilient, which is only -1, and again, it's not as much of a concern for everything else, but that's just enough, I think, to keep him off the table. I think people start bringing some Laz cannons and you throw it on, you know, weapon platform of your choice. I think that's tough. I think that's really tough.
That's fair. Look, he's always a 400 plus point model is always going to be a tough pill to swallow, whether he's viable or not. I think it's just your preference, really. Do you think it's something that's worth investing in? I think if any of the Primarchs can stay in the realms of you don't feel either horrible for taking one, e.g. taking a machine gun to a knife fight, or in the opposite, you're taking something that's going to weigh you down, slow you down, and is over an overinvestment. I think if they can live anywhere between those two extremes, I think they're in a good spot.
Yeah, I think that in this case, the smite thing is going to get him. So not being able to shrug off mortal wounds is a bad thing.
He's still got a couple of denies himself, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, three denies. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, 3. He does. That's true. Well, and so that's where it brings me back to, which I mean, again, talking about the Necron Codex not being bad, is they have some sincere mortal wound generation, and it's not psychic either.
Man, so many armies do now. Like, I mean, Admech puts out, like, pretty much, unless you're taking only, like, T-Suns and Zinch Demons, Admech put out, like, almost the most amount of psychic, of Mortal Wounds in the game, and not one of them's in the psychic phase, which is terrifying.
Yes,
so not one of them do you have the chance to have interplay against, which is where the psychic phase is good and bad.
Yeah, that's a big deal, in my opinion.
So there could be other things in the book. Like, we really, like, this could all be a silly conversation if the plague surgeon just gives everybody feeling of pain anyway.
Or the new psychic power, you know, that instead of having, like, the psychic fortress for Space Marines, it isn't a 5-up invuln, it's 5-up DR, you know? And then, yeah. Back we go. Yeah. Everyone shut up. It's crazy.
There's a pus banner relic or something, you know. But look, we don't know. This is just, so don't listen to this part. This is more speculation. But I think everything that we know right now, the inability to shrug off mortal wounds will be a huge detriment to something that's the biggest target in the game, you know, that you want within 18 inches of someone at all times.
It's just gonna have the propensity to leave them exposed. If they ever become, like, I guess, top of the competitive pile, there's an easy way for people to start mitigating them, start just leaning into things that just do models.
Yeah, but I think you're going to you're going to be able to produce an impressive ground pounding list, like a dominant, just grindy, win by attrition type list,
which is so aesthetically correct. You know,
yeah,
it's so on point.
Yeah, I'm going to get 3 blight haulers right after this recording.
You're an animal.
Sometimes you just got to buy on the news, man.
What else is going on there? Ah, there was that little thing that came out that time. What was it? Ah, it was the Army Builder came out.
Yeah, okay, so you want to talk about the Army Builder app?
Wait, I should. Am I allowed to have my hot take? Annoyed hot take. Rant.
You want that now, or you want that after the break?
It's on topic with Death Guard, so I don't
know. But before we go to that, I guess let's take a break.
Let's do that. Let's just take a break. That's right, because we make the rules around here.
That's right. Apparently, I don't.
I meant we as a group.
We all just learned the pecking order, people.
We can break now. let's take a break. And we'll come back in just a minute.
See. FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
We are back, folks. Still got Red and Adam here.
Hello.
Hi.
Man, there's an axe to grind, and I'm just going to get out of the way and let it happen.
Okay, guys. Okay. So, paint the picture. Death Guard just lost to Feel No Pain. As of the state of the game right now, you can get Feel No Pain by including a Pain Boy in your Orc army. Yep, so you're buying a model, which is cool. Yeah, you get a bubble of Feel No Pain. You can be, is it Leviathan or a Behemoth? I think it's Leviathan. And every sin-up creature gives out a 6-inch bubble of Feel No Pain. Or you can be any Space Marine that ever existed or ever wanted to have Feel No Pain. You can just buy it. You can just have it. Why do Space Marines have it? They took it away from the guys that have it, the two armies that have had that rule for time immemorial. Necrons and Death Guard have both had it removed, but Space Marines just get it. You know? It actually me off that, you know, they're wholesaling removing what was a core tenet of two major factions in both the lore, the story, and the game, and they're just like, but we'll still let Space Marines have it. Are you like, are they just letting Space Marines be the best version of every other army? Because they are right now. White Skies and Blood Angels are the two best melee armies in the game. I mean, Orcs and Tyranids need to get ridiculous boosts if they're going to shine any kind of candle on either of those two armies, like punch to punch. Orcs have to literally take like 300 models to contend right now. That's the kind of place they're in. You know, hopefully a couple of buffs here or there to Meganobs and maybe they start swinging back a little bit. Gene Stealers, yeah? Gene Stealers used to be one of the most terrifying prime melee units in the game. Yeah. And now you compare, like, two Gene Stealers for one Blade Guard. And that Blade Guard just like a double handed fist dunks, breaks the backboard on those Gene Stealers, you know? It's ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous. And it annoys me. I want Apothecaries gone from the game. Let them res guys for free if you want, but no Feel No Pain, or vice versa. Let them have the Feel No Pain and not res guys. They're too freaking good. They're too freaking cheap, and they're too auto take. They're just too good, man. It annoys me. I mean, Iron Hands still have Feel No Pain, for God's sake, you know? They took it away from Necrons and Death Guard, but they left it with Iron Hands? Like, I mean, come on.
All right. I think that
I'm gonna take a breath now.
Yeah, we mention that as a rant, but feedback is neither positive nor negative, and you simply must just absorb it as feedback.
Shock jocking here. This is my radio shock jock. Trying to get the TPM those clicks.
I think it's a good perspective to consider. I mean, we've talked a lot about how things are good. This is a recurring theme right now with the apothecary, and there's something to it. I mean, it's for those of you that are playing Space Marines, or those of you who are playing against Space Marines, it's just something that you accept right now, right? Fortunately, this is a dynamic game. And it's a living game in such a way that GW does adjust things. And so, you know, you take what you get, and you have the advantages that are in front of you. And if you want to be able to play a Space Marine army with arguably, you know, 300 to 400 plus points, then you bring a Master Apothecary with that trait that allows him to bring stuff back just like that. And also granting an aura of feel no pain. Like, you know, what you said in so many words was not necessarily wrong. It's just with its own bias. And that's definitely there and present in a Space Marine army. And it's not present in other armies. And we just kind of acknowledge that as we transition from 8th to 9th, that things are going to change, and that we'll likely continue to see updates to the Space Marine army as other armies are released.
So I made one comment there in the heat of the moment. I can't remember how long it was ago that Death Guard got disgusting resilience. Anybody remember?
It's a long time.
I mean, yeah, they've had it. Yeah, a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, so not just like, you know what I mean. The feel no pain.
Yeah,
feel no pain.
I know, right. I know from forever up until, so when they lost, We Will Be Back, right up until 8th edition, Necrons had that was their core mechanic as well.
Yeah,
they did have something very similar.
I mean, just as a slight counterpoint, is that with the Space Marine stuff, it's not innate unless you're Iron Hands, right? But the apothecary is not something you do have to buy it. You then have to go into management. It's a very small aura, it's 3 inches, but it can be a drag, you know, without being able to deal with it.
I've petered out now. I blew all the hot air out. Now I'm thinking with a bit more reason. But man, in the heat of the moment, the more I start talking about this, the more it actually annoys me. It does. Why do Space Marines get to have the best of everyone else's rules? You know,
the Space Marines, they are supposed to be that kind of a sampling, you know, middle of the road. I should say middle of the road, but you could do everything in 40K out of the Space Marine vehicle.
Yeah, and look, GW has their prerogative. Space Marines is the cash cow of the entire game, and so they got to give them enough diversity that they remain interesting and worth playing for no matter what interest you have in the game, which phase or which aesthetic or which, you know, color, for God's sake, whatever color you enjoy, you can find a Space Marine army that will make you a happy guy, happy hobbyist. I suppose that's a lot of probably what their impetus is. But I mean, just as a gamer, purely as a gamer, it annoys me. It does bother me that they just get the best of everything.
So
all the time.
What you're describing is that this mechanic is where it was a little bit ubiquitous and other people had access to it is now pretty much the solely on the Space Marines, and they're already a good army, and so they've got a great mechanic on top of something that feels like it may have potentially been taken away from other armies. And, you know, again, my feelings on Disgusting Resilient changing, I don't know if it's better or worse than it used to be yet.
Well, so I'm not saying give the feel no pain esque things back to Necrons or Death Guard. What I'm saying is, if you're going to kill it as a mechanic, kill it wholesale.
That's a point I can get, or at least that's a conversation point to have. Is like, if it's going to change, why give it to just the Marines?
Exactly. If you're going to kill it for the two armies that have had it forever, or that's been their shtick forever, why keep it around for some? Just kill it off.
I don't know that the Plague Surgeon won't give them.
That's true. They could have an apothecary. They could have an apothecary equivalent, and you know, this is a moot point.
Yeah, I don't know that the Pain Boy is not going to stay the same. You did name three core mega factions, you know, that have it.
That's true. I did, like, you know, Tyranids, Orcs, and Marines. That's half the game, you know. But that was my axe to grind. I was just annoyed that the two things that I associate with that rule no longer have it, and one that I do not associate with that rule has it wherever they want.
Has it all over the place, yeah. And you're also talking about things that actually make it to the table. Like, it's really interesting, you know, or we can theory craft all day long about things that aren't making it to the table are not the gateway list and are not stopping people or people or things people are using to win tournaments. You know, we could those are totally different conversations. You're talking about, you know, like something that already has potential to stomp all three rounds, has a better mechanic, or seems like they're not getting the impact of mechanic creep or game philosophy change.
Yeah. Yep. Very well said.
No, I think you said it. It's something to think about.
Sorry, I can't even remember my own points. I was spitting words. Adam's words per minute was in, you know, wild action.
Oh, I cannot wait to, you know, use my apothecary against you. That's all I'm saying.
I got one as well.
My sanguinary high priest is going to.
I've got a Raven Wing apothecary, man. You know, I mean, I've had him for like 3 years.
Well, no, it was, but you can't not take it. So yes,
I've got it. That's right. Yeah. I mean, I cannot take it, but you know, I know what I am.
Well, you know what I mean.
I'm not strong enough to not take it.
Yeah, it's a strong mechanic, and it's becoming even stronger as other things start to lose it.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
But yeah,
we can move on now. We got some other things to talk about.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. There is. So the app. You know, I know not to abruptly change the subject of the app. I think this is something that is going, what you just brought up is something that is sitting with the community right now in a way, and they're having to determine how they feel about it. So, you know, I don't know that you helped.
I gave zero solutions. Well, zero solutions that are going to actually take place. There's a bunch of wish listing and griping.
But would you feel better if the plague surgeon did have a Philip give a aura?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I actually kind of want DR to go away. If it's not going to be a core concept for these armies, I'd just rather it die as a mechanic.
You mean feel no pain in general?
No pain. Just let it go. Don't need it anymore. If you're going to take it away, take it away.
And there's also things like stratagems. You know, that's one of the, like, one of the things that I would like to see ingrained more in the game is that some of these units, I feel like that some of the stratagems should be just abilities on the unit.
Yeah, that is true. I feel like they unnecessarily stripped back a bunch of units to the just like a plain old data sheet with nothing special on them.
And I don't mean across the board or I think there's just some instances of this and then that the stratagem could just be a better use of that, or you fill that stratagem slot with something that you did for something else, you know. I don't know, but there's just, you know, things. This is feedback, you know, that kind of thing. It's interesting. Mm. Get to talk about this and think about this kind of stuff.
When you look at, you take the concept, you know, we start talking about mechanics and things like that. And Paul, you mentioned feedback. I think that, so units that don't have abilities and whatnot, the Immortals for Necrons, right? Sure, they have some of the built-in army-wide rules, but otherwise, the Immortals troop choice for Necrons have no other specific abilities. Like, they have nothing baked into them, right? And I think that that's something, I don't think that that's a bad thing by any means. I do agree that to a point, like, not everything has to be super unique to the extent that it has its own special thing going into it. I think that that's a very good observation.
Well, it's definitely a step back from the position that GW took at the start of 8th edition. They were talking a lot about everything's going to have bespoke rules, everything's going to have its own, you know, movement characteristic and special rules and data sheet, and, you know, because it used to be, every infantry moved 6. Every beast, right. Actually, every beast also moves 6. Every dreadnought also moves 6. Everything, a swarm moved 6, you know? Whereas, you know, then there were some monstrous creatures you got to move 12 and whatever. Actually, I can't even remember anymore. It's been that long.
No. I mean, that's something, right? And so, like, you're always going back and forth. Like, there's a difference between a game and a war game, right? And in a war game, there's certain complexities. And the next, so you've got that. And then on the other side of it, there's a huge component of a war game is the dynamics between multiple players, right? It's not just, it's not a game of solitaire necessarily. There are dynamics that I make this decision, you make this decision. And something to the rules aspect, I mean, you know, we talk about that in regards of getting away from what there was in 8th edition. And then, of course, when Space Wolves just dropped, they just dropped like the unique Hounds of Mordkai. And then, you know, of course, Paul's beloved Legion of Angels, the Blood Angels, they have, you know, 6 different unique units on top of, you know, that. And then again, so what I guess I'm talking about is that there's this balance between complexity and simplicity, and like your drive, your desire to drop DR so that it's just a flat, you know, we just roll with it. Like we talked about the convenience of them losing old, disgustingly resilient. There's no more dice rolling in that regard. I mean, we can talk about how convenient that is, but then we look at they created a whole new process for reanimation protocols for Necrons, and that we're just rolling more dice at a different phase or a different sequence. The complexity is good because it makes us engage and we want to feel this, you know, it doesn't feel as much like a war game if there aren't these combating elements and dynamics of complexity that we have to, you know, that's some people. I mean, I think that there's plenty of complexity, especially when it comes to, I'm going to jump, you know, ship here a little bit, but with like, take like 30K, right? It's Space Marines fighting Space Marines. But is it really Space Marines fighting? Yeah, there's the basic template of the legions, but really there's enough diversity if you dig into those books to be able to make these very flavorful things. Like, you know, when I talked about when you brought up my Khorne army and everything was divisible by the number 8, that kind of stuff. Like, there's ways to make it. People just have to buy into it. But when everybody shows up to the table with Space Marines and they all have apothecaries built into it and they're all okay, I roll to hit you, I roll to wound you, you roll to save, and then I'm going to roll my feel no pain, and then I'm going to get this guy up and I'm going to have, you know, a deficit or a difference of an extra 400 points to my army. Everybody's doing that. There's something to that I think frustrates us when everybody's got the same thing.
Yeah, it's when the game there's just an element of sameness that takes away more than it gives. The diversity of 40K is its biggest power, I think. I don't think there's another game in the world or that maybe has ever existed with the amount of model and faction diversity as 40K. Like, you literally have an army of Space Marines that has almost 100 different units that you can pick from in its codex, let alone its supplements. And I think the diversity is where the strength is where the love is and the passion. You can really make your army, whatever your imagination of your made up legion, hive fleet, clan, whatever, you can make it in 40K. You can absolutely make it. There's enough, whatever. And the point is that when you get to a point where every army has a chapter master, as it did in 8th edition, every army now has an apothecary and a master of sanctity, chief apothecary and a master of sanctity, it just gets this level of sameness that I think just bores people more than anything. It's just been like, why go to a tournament when I'm going to play, you know, out of 5 games, 3 of them are going to be Space Marines, and those lists are going to be exactly the same. They're going to have Plasma Inceptors and Multi Melters, and then this array of characters.
That's right. I've read this really awesome book called Reality is Broken. It's a book on gaming and wargaming, game design. And in that, the author, Jane McGonigal, she does this awesome job of describing games as unnecessary obstacles, right? We voluntarily decide to go into a game that has unnecessary obstacles, and we love doing it and we enjoy it. And there's that challenge of overcoming the complexities and being able to embrace them and to certain degrees master them and be able to say, like, well, I know this and it interacts with this and it has this kind of synergy and it does this. And you take that kind of skill set and then you put it against another player. And there's this concept, Fiero, right? Like, it's called, it's essentially the pride of gameplay, of not just winning, but it's something that literally energizes us to play. Like, we want to enjoy those victories that we have. And to an extent, like what you're talking about, you know, being able to make these diverse armies and win with them and enjoy the victories that come out of them. I mean, people can appreciate that, right? And that's exactly what I'm getting at. And I think that these unnecessary obstacles that we put ourselves in, you don't want it to be boring. You don't. And there's an aspect to that, because why would you put an unnecessary boring obstacle in front of you? Like, that's just not the thing. Engaging unnecessary obstacle, like, that's exactly what this is. And that's I don't mean to reduce our beloved hobby into such a thing, but that's really what it is. And that's the pleasure of it.
What was that word?
Fiero. F-I-E-R-O. Awesome. Fiero.
I'm going to get that on the back of a t-shirt someday.
Oh, man, we're there over here playing checkers and Red is playing chess.
Yeah, Red's, 3D chess.
I do have to just sit over here and be silent because I do happen to have a Master of Sanctity and an Apothecary in my arm.
So. if I could have bought one already, I would have. Like I said, I'm not strong enough to not do these things myself. I know, yeah. I accept myself as I am.
Yeah. Look, this is, I don't think the points that you're making are You know they're well timed. I mean, this is as this edition develops, I think you're calling out something that I'm not saying spread it around to everyone, but everyone needs to feel like they're in the game as much as the Space Marine player.
Can you? This is something I do every now and then when I get too heated, I guess, and it's probably a good thing for me to do now because I'm quite heated about this. I try and put myself in the shoes of the rules writers. Like, what kind of a task that they have to, like, they've got what, 16 factions, 16 unique bespoke factions.
Plus.
16 plus to write bespoke, unique, flavorful rules for. There's only so many mechanics you can leverage. Like, there's only so many.
I don't know if I'd even put it that way. I think that we're still very on in this edition. We're very early on, and there's plenty of more stuff to come out and plenty of things to do. They've proven that they'll address things through erratas if necessary, through campaign supplements if necessary. I mean, I don't want to say it's too hands-on or reactionary because I don't believe it is. I'm just saying that if it gets to the point, if it gets to that cataclysmic level that you're talking about, then something will be done.
And that's where we go back to what I was saying, how it's a living game, right? Like the exciting thing, man, I can only imagine how exciting it would be for the rules writers and the designers of this game and the aspect that, honestly, they acknowledge that there's legacy material out there, right? And they come back to address it every now and then with legends or by the, you know, they made the indexes that took, essentially they removed some of Psychic Awakening. There's a lot of opportunity in the fact that they just get to revitalize a lot of their legacy material. And they're not, there are some efforts. And like you said, Paul, they go back and they'll adjust this and that. And they FAQ things. And they do have playtesters. We know there are playtesters out there that get to exercise the ideas that they have. But it's just awesome in the regards that they are constantly progressing forward in this living game. They're always releasing a new edition of some component of it. You know, Death Guard gets a new codex. Drukhari's up on the list. We know Drukhari's going to get a new one. And so, like, they get to explore. They say, okay, this is how Disgustingly Resilient used to work. This is how we want it to work now in relation to all of the elements that we built, we'll say, for 9th edition, right? Now, we understand and acknowledge that the legacy values are still out there, but those are going to get updated eventually to such an extent. And we're going to have 9th edition for so long. And what, you know, system maintenance needs to be done on these mechanics once we get all of 9th edition brought in, like the scope of what they have in front of them. I really think that, I mean, I applaud them. And I think that they should be pretty proud of the enormity of systems that they're really managing in just this game alone.
That's fair. And I can't speak against that.
I think there's still plenty of spicy list out there and stuff too. I know we talked a lot about Marines, and look, we talked a lot about Marines because we play some Marines, and Blood Angels just came out, and you know I wasn't going to not talk about Blood Angels. But
I thought you did good. You dodged around even saying their name earlier. That was good.
So, Chris, I'm interested to know, after you've got, like, let's say, 10, 20 games of the new book under your belt, I want to know how you think they shape up to something like White Scars. I want to know where you think the difference is there.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my strong opinions that they're going to paste them, but you're right. It needs to get played out some.
I did expect nothing less. In fact, that was restrained from what I expected. I expected Hulk Hogan on me, be like, let me tell you, brother.
We're going to cut some promos.
Yeah, they got nothing on me.
They're going to be epic. No, I'm more worried about things that, you know, like the AdMech, that, like, hey, man, why don't you just eat 40 mortal wounds? Like, ooh, that's unfortunate.
On top of all this extra. Yeah. Man, AdMech is so extra. That's a term people are using now, right? Extra?
Yeah.
AdMech is so extra.
You're real super hip.
Yeah, I'm amazing. Yeet. Yeet indeed. No idea.
That's what I'm more worried about. I'm more worried about them setting up with their gun line and me thinking, like, oh, things are amazing, and then having them it only takes them to have one, like, a slightly above average turn, and I have no models left.
Yeah, it only takes you being in a deployment zone that has slightly less than the required, you know, amount of stuff, and like, oh, cool, that third of my army I couldn't hide, erased.
Yeah, and so terrain, so this is one of the things. So, you know, I've played games of 40K, for real.
Really?
But I haven't played too many games where, like, there were stakes on the line yet. And I'm really looking forward to getting back to that. And because that's where some of the real interesting rules interactions come about. You know, that in a game with stakes, you get to have a discussion with your opponent about they forgot to assign the breachable keyword to a piece of terrain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the stuff that comes out when you're testing. I'm not saying you're not playing Gotcha 40K. You just assumed that you could run through that wall, but yet it didn't have the keyword. And that's the kind of stuff that you watch for when you've got reps under your belt. And I don't know if I'm at that. I mean, now that I've convinced myself that I'm going to get boned by it, I'm going to be watching for it.
But what I'm saying RTT, is, I've got my first RTT of this season this weekend, which I'm very excited for. It's just like an RTT. It's three games one day, and I couldn't be more pumped. It might as well be like the LVO as far as I'm concerned, because this year has been such a 2020.
Do you know how they're handling terrain and that kind of stuff? I mean, because I think that's, again, it's not a gotcha thing. It's not, but I think anyone's going to be out there trying to get somebody. But that's one of the most interesting interactions of the new system that has opened to the most interpretation, I think.
It really is. And it changes exactly right. And on top of that, it's a true third player again. Like we haven't had the terrain be a third player. I mean, even 7th edition, it kind of really wasn't. So maybe it's been, what, 6th? Maybe even 5th since the terrain really like massively impacted how you played?
Yeah. Yeah. But the breachable is infantry, beast, and swarms can move through walls, girders, chains, and foliage of this terrain feature without impediment.
Those girders. Yeah,
I mean, meaning
to be able to walk through girders.
Yeah, that if it didn't have that trait, then you couldn't run through the wall. You couldn't assault through the wall. You would then have to go over and down it. You have to climb it and then, you know, climb up and down it.
100%.
Sacrificing that precious, precious movement.
And there is such a, like, I'm expecting to lose a game simply because I use the terrain worse than my opponent. Like, my opponent's just going to use terrain better than me sometime. And I'm going to be like, I had to -2 charge him when he's on an objective in order to not give him a 15 on primary, and I lose by 5 points. And like, okay, well, there we go. He used it better than I did.
I am a huge fan of the organizer assigning all the traits to the terrain.
Yeah.
So you don't have that debate.
Well, so much of, I'm just speaking for a lot of the event organizers I know around my area. So many of them have bought like good quality bulk terrain for 8th edition necessities.
Yep.
That I expect them to just stand up at the start and be like, all right, anything that is the XYZ format is XYZ keywords.
If it looks like this, it has this.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly right.
Yeah.
I think that's the easiest.
They should publish it, you know, so everyone knows what's up.
If just having a copy on the table, like, or even one between every, you know, 3 or 4 tables is fine, because the tables are a lot smaller, a lot closer together or further apart, social distancing. But I think that's a fine, elegant way of doing it.
And I just don't want to have, you know, I don't think you want to add the complexity of the game and the competition aspect, and then when you're having a debate about what is difficult ground and what isn't.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, you know, TOs, solve that for them, assign everything. I'm not saying don't use these rules, you know, don't use difficult ground and unstable positions. And I mean, use whatever you want. Just make it to where you're not, it's not a game. It's not a pregame thing that the players are playing and where one player can get an unfair advantage over him because he is a little bit more savvy with how he debates for whatever keywords.
I mean, like TOs, they just don't work hard enough, you know? I mean, up your game, TOs. Do some more work. Jesus.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you're trading your work. I think you do a little bit of work in the beginning. You have less work solving debates between
What did you do to me on the last one? You had the thumbnail that said, why does Adam hate Space Wolves? Why does Paul hate TOs? The caption for this episode.
You get what I'm saying. But okay, I guess I've kind of drifted away from my original point, is that this is the stuff that I want to get better at. And I think playing games with stakes helps you get better at this quicker.
Yeah, I think the amount I learn between the, like, five tournament games and 5 practice games is immense. Like, I've learned so much more about how I want to play during tournament games. I learned more about the armies I want to build during practice. You know, I learn about, you know, the units that I think are viable, but actual, like, in-game mechanics, got to be events with pressure.
Yeah, and just knowing how another group, somebody from across town, plays is sometimes beneficial. I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying that knowing what to expect and see out there, it helps. It helps you get better.
Those cross-town boys think they're so cool.
We play in a game where you may not have every codex. You may not know how everything, you know, works, or you may not have the rules or something. So when you're playing somebody, you get a chance to be educated from across town.
Dude, I've played like 4 games against sisters now, and every game they're just like, oh, they can do that too, hey? Oh, wow, there you go. Jeez.
Sisters is not an easy army to build. Yeah, from
wait, this codex has been out for like well over a year. Jeez, oof, and they can do all this stuff. I had no idea. Yeah, cool. Yikes.
So yes. That's my terrain tip. I'm going to try to learn something. I'm trying to commit something to memory that I know will hurt me if I don't know.
If you don't mind, I'll jump onto the terrain piece. And that I don't mean that the conversation has already moved on, but the when it comes to terrain stuff, right? So like there's three, maybe four things you can go into a game understanding, right? So like you understand yourself, which is understanding your own army, your own capabilities, whatnot, right? You understand the enemy, so know your enemy's army, know what they have and what their capabilities are and what they're going to try and do with it. The next thing being understanding the environment, right? And that's where I think, Paul, you get with this terrain. You're right on in understanding exactly what that terrain is. And then the part of this, again, going back to this being a dynamic between two people, is being able to communicate and understand what your opponent thinks of the terrain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the rule sense as well as in the play sense, right? So like, what do they value? What do they think is important and whatnot? But also, how do they understand, you know, is this difficult ground? Is this an exposed position? Is it ruins? Is it a ruins wall, right? Because there's a difference between those two.
Yep.
So on and so forth.
Is that a girder?
So, exactly. it's important. And then the fourth part of that being is like, what do you want to do, right? It's not just knowing what you have and what they have and what the field is, but knowing where you want to be. You start in your deployment zone. They start in their deployment zone. When I say like, where do you want to be? Like, what are the objectives and how are you supposed to get from your deployment zone to having scored, you know, X in primary and X in secondary? And that's kind of my general approach and what I recommend. And I think, Paul, you hit it on the head in regards of understanding and determining your environment, and that it definitely involves a dialogue between the TO, who should hopefully have already cleared that out, and the other player across the table.
Yeah, I just don't think you want to be in round, you know, in turn three of the game debating whether or not you should get a -2 on your move.
Yeah, you better not be.
So it could lead to some difficult conversations and feel bads where nobody intended for you to feel that. They've always played it. Yeah, this piece of terrain at the game store that they go to every week, that's how it's used every time, and they expect you to know that.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying to say that negatively. It's just, you know, again,
it's a conversation.
Yeah.
It's what's wrong with most human engagements is if you don't talk to someone, you can't read their mind, and they can't read yours despite what anybody thinks. And so you just got to have the conversation, and it's tough.
Yeah. You're like, hey, man, this ruined wall is very inspiring. I took a lot of casualties on the last turn.
The thing is, you don't want to get to a point, like I think this is exactly what Red was saying. You don't want to get to a point where one side has an invested interest in the outcome before you figure out what is what. Because that's what leads to conflict. That's what leads to feel bad. That's what leads to everything that kind of generally goes wrong. Yeah. Two people interpret something different and they don't discuss it until it becomes a time when someone's going to get disappointed.
Yeah, excellent points, gentlemen. And so I'm just going through these things as, you know, look, this is around the time when I'm starting to prepare for what I would call tournament season.
Yeah. Well, if this was a normal year, we'd be, 3 months into the kind of heavy, hot and heavy tournament bit?
I'm planning all my conventions and travels and stuff for next year and you know, just getting my army shaped up and figuring out what I want to do and things. But it's not a normal year, and that's okay. But I want to try to keep some of my rituals the same, such as, you know, tightening up my rules, get acquainted with my codex. You know, I know that I'm a weaker ninth edition player because I haven't had the games that with the stakes involved. So how do I change that? Well, let me start forcing myself to doing some of these deep dives and going through some of these interactions.
Yeah, and a good call as well. Like it's really important to be able to recognize that when you might be a little bit behind and not just going, I've watched some people on YouTube going to cocksure and not have a good time.
Figure out your 2000 or 1400 points your army are out of position.
Yeah.
You don't, I don't think you
what
want
do you
that.
Mean plague bearers won't auto win anymore?
I don't think you want that. Well, gentlemen, this has been a good conversation. I know we have jumped around, you know, as we do a little bit, but I think we've hit on some interesting topics.
Man, we didn't even touch on the army builder.
No,
oh,
we teased it a bit. Hey, look, the army builder is out there. Battleforge is out there in the Warhammer app, and we will talk about it next week for sure.
Yeah, it'll give us some time to actually gather some experience with it, get some data.
Yeah, I've clicked
around
a bit.
Download it maybe, Adam.
Yeah.
I will be the guy who doesn't have it. You guys can be the guys who do have it. I'll be the control.
You can ask a bunch of questions.
Exactly. I'll come from the layman's no idea what's going on. Yeah, we'll see how we go. That's such a meme right now that I need to do it just for the kicks. I want to get it. I actually
you
want to
stay consistent.
Like, not for another week or two. Let the memes flow with a little bit longer.
It's a free month right now.
It's correct. It is tempting.
So, you know, there you go. Well, guys, again, thanks for jumping on with us. Thanks for listening. Please comment down below anywhere you see it. Give us some 5-star reviews and whatnot. Like, hit the bells. I don't know what you're supposed to do. Just make sure you get you're tuned in every week, and we really appreciate it.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Handle the truth.